Good evening, everyone. I declare the meeting open. I begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. And I'll let everyone know that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask if elected members foreshadow any items where they might have a conflict of interest. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Yeah, look, I've got a conflict in regard to the Edwards Revitalisation Project, mainly because my name has been put forward as a chair of a committee. Now, that is a non-remunerated chair. It's really just to do within the scope of my existing role as a councillor. I think for that reason it is just perceived, but I will throw to the Manager of Governance, if that's okay.
Yes, Ms McKenzie's view.
Through the Chair, yes, we had this discussion today and we agreed that it would be a perceived conflict if it was a conflict at all. The role is to obviously chair that committee and whether there was any perceived benefit or detriment as a result of doing that, we thought it was unlikely.
Yes, not sure there is any real conflict at all because of that exemption that arises out of just doing your duty as a councillor, but it's your choice, and out of caution we'll note that as a perceived conflict of interest. Councillor Hull?
I'd like to ask, I don't have a problem with Councillor Pfeiffer or any councillor being chair of the committee. It used to happen a lot once, but I was led to believe that in our role as a councillor we are forbidden to be a chair or a voting member of any committee. Just like Councillor Blesko and I are on the Red House Board as council appointments, as liaison. So I'd like to clear this up because I think that we all should have that same entitlement.
Well, the difference here being that this is not an incorporated association. It's just a group of interested people monitoring a particular issue. So I think that's the difference. But Ms McKenzie, what can you advise? Taken on notice. We'll add that to the questions on notice register.
Thank you, because I'm sure Councillor Blesko and I have often been eager to be able to vote on the Red House Committee, but we've refrained.
Well, and so you should, because that is a very different matter.
Incorporated body, just the same.
So that's a different matter to the one that we're talking about tonight for Edwardstown. Others? Councillor Schilling.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I have a perceived conflict of interest with the rescission motion for the Onkel Parinka boundary because my employer is mentioned and the letter that he has sent to Council is attached.
Right. Thank you. Noted. Any others? Then, if not, would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we go right down to petitions on page 30 in relation to Woodend Primary School. Now, is there updated information on that? Or at any rate, Councillor Schilling, you're going to move a motion in relation to the petition, so I'll leave it up to you if there's any new information.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move as written. I have fielded a large number of phone calls and emails from residents of Franklin Court regarding this issue and had many conversations with staff re this issue and raised it regularly in my ward briefing with Councillor Duncan and other staff. And the residents, the main reason the petition has come to Council is the residents have had very little luck in gaining communications from the school and have turned to myself and Councillor Duncan for assistance from Council with regarding to the proposed access point and the access path, especially because Council did the initial consultation for the access point and access path.
So just to clarify, yes. Councillor, that suggests that it raised expectations that Council was involved, even
yes.
though what happens with the gate is, strictly speaking, up to the school entirely. Is that the case?
Correct, but also the reason it's being funded is money from Minister Spears that has been given to Council to do this project. So it's, I guess there's a bit of a grey area there that it's us, the school, the government where it's coming from. So the residents have contacted us. We've spoken regularly with Mr. Allen and Mr. Lines regarding this issue. And then the residents contacted me and said, how do we do a petition? And so I pointed them to the council page, and lo and behold, we've had a petition.
Thanks for your contribution. Before I take a seconder, before we get to that, can I ask Mr. Skull or one of the managers to clarify whose responsibility it would be to have a gate locked or unlocked?
Thank you, Chair. It is the school's responsibility. We were certainly working with the money that was provided, $200,000, to fix up some of the kiss and drop and parking issues for the Wood End School. But the school would be responsible for the gate down on that corner.
So I've had a motion. Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, did you wish to speak? Thank you. But I have an amendment. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd just like to move a motion that Council notes the report. I'm really uncomfortable with the wording of number two. As a Council, we've often tried to support open school grounds. This suggests that by supporting this motion, I'm now voting for closing school grounds to members of the community. I'm also a bit concerned that we have a Council resolution telling elected members they have to go to a meeting, and also saying that the school principal, their governing council, has to also attend this meeting. Are we able to actually do that? Can't we just note the report?
Now, Councillor Crossland, I understand your intention. Now, I think this is one of those cases where what you're really doing is speaking against the motion. And if, because it's clearly part of Councillor Schilling's intent that this meeting is promoted, so to cut that clause out is effectively countering the motion. So what I would suggest is, if people support Councillor Crossland's position, they should vote against a motion, and then we should put a fresh motion simply noting the report and advising the head petitioner of Council's decision. But let you speak to that, Councillor Crossland.
I'd just like to respond with a question then. So can Council resolution tell other ward councillors to go to a meeting?
I'll clarify that because, I don't believe it is.
It supports, but it's not.
You can argue in the debate that it compels people, but that's I don't read it that way. It's supporting a meeting, but I don't see that it's compelling anyone to attend. I would agree with you if you're putting the position that we can't force anyone to attend.
Does Council need to pass a resolution to support elected members to go to this meeting?
It doesn't need to, but a councillor may wish to promote such a meeting, and I think that's what Councillor Schilling's doing. So I'll take that as speaking against the motion on the basis that if the motion fails, then we'll simply look for a motion that notes the report and advises the petitioner. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Hull.
Start with a couple of questions. In terms of the elected members attending, it doesn't say compulsory, does it?
It doesn't say that, no.
No compulsion. The other thing is, at the meeting, could it not be discussed, and that's what meetings are for, to have a discussion about the virtues of keeping school grounds open rather than locked? Could that be part of the discussion?
In theory, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep
well,
going.
That being the case, it is just a meeting, and meetings are good.
Anyone else speaking against the motion, particularly the concept of supporting the meeting? Then I'll leave it to Councillor Schilling to just close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to bring it to the Chamber's attention that Franklin Court is a dead-end street that would potentially have oval access. It's not blocking off the oval to the public. The oval is still accessible from Edward Beck Drive. and on weekends there is ample parking where you can park along Epperbeck Drive to access the school. So by no way is it locking up the school to stop access on weekends. If you want to gain access from Franklin Court, you walk 300 metres up to Edward Beck and boom, there's the oval. So the residents are just trying to avoid a safety issue where they've already hit a child crossing the street with cars because it's already a tight street parked street. So they're really just trying to avoid anything else happening because on weekends there is also a lot of cars parked in their street.
Put the motion, all those in favour, all those against, carried by majority. So we did have a resident of Franklin Court in the gallery. You're free to leave any time, by the way. We'll be here for a few hours yet. And there'll be an official acknowledgement to the petitioner, and then it's up to people whether they want to have that meeting or not, basically. Now we move on to committee recommendations. Would somebody like to move those en bloc, confirming the minutes of the Review and Selection Committee meeting and the Finance and Audit Committee meeting? Move Councillor Clancy, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we have quite a lengthy series of confidential items. So I can only suggest to any members of the public that we might be some time in confidence, starting with the report on page 51. Would someone like to move that we go into confidence? Councillor Bilescu. A conflict of interest with this item, Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Gard. All those in favour? All those against, carried unanimously, will go into confidence to discuss this Westminster Reserve item on page 52. I suspect we might be an hour before we get back into the open meeting, but we'll do our best. So the door's closed. Would someone like to ask a question or move a motion? I commend Ms. Haywood for the work she's done on this. Seems to have captured a lot of the discussions that elected members expressed when we went on a tour of the site. I'll leave it to Councillor Crossland to move as he wishes.
Can I just ask a couple of questions, please, Your Worship, first?
Of course.
First question is, I noticed that we're looking now at turning the two tennis courts to multi-purpose courts. We previously resisted that, waiting for the outcome of the citywide plan to work out whether or not two multi-purpose courts were suitable in that location. We haven't got any in the coastal ward, but I was waiting for that sort of result to determine where we should locate them, because I'd also questioned before where we'd turned other tennis courts into multi-purpose courts in locations that weren't really viable and didn't really want to go down the same track. So I just want to confirm how we've arrived that by coincidence the exact location we need two multi-purpose courts is Nanigai Reserve.
Ms. Haywood.
Through the chair, at the moment this is simply a a concept, thank you, Abby. This is simply a concept for us to go and start conversations with the residents as part of our community consultation, so nothing's set in stone. The options that we've put there currently were off the back of our original briefing that we had with all of the council members, and at that time that's what we proposed, and now that we're at the point that we can go out to consultation, we can confirm with the community that that's what's required in that location.
Councillor Crossan?
My concern with that, and I'm, from my experience of community consultations, that when the public see a drawing with a playground and two multi-purpose courts, they will believe that we are proposing and have got justification to build two multi-purpose courts. I think they'd be shocked if at the end of it one disappeared. I'm just curious as to how that's a concept plan.
I think you've already had an answer to that, even if it hasn't completely answered your question. Anything else that staff can add?
Through the chair, if I can add further, what we found through the tennis and netball review was that multi-purpose courts were a good solution to community access courts because they met the needs both for netball and tennis. It doesn't add any additional costs, and where it can be achieved, it makes sense to cater for both of those sports.
I suppose, to be fair, where you've got toilets, a shelter and a playground, comes a concentration of recreational opportunities. But Councillor Crossland, do you want to proceed with this?
We'll just move as recommended. I was just consulting with Councillor Gard
to
make sure we're on the same page. So we'll move as proposed by staff.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, you wish to speak?
Only very briefly that I think sometimes it's how you say something, not what you say. And in this case, I think in the process of the consultation, what I would ask for is that we're very much at the crystallisation stage. We're nowhere near set in our minds either way. And if we could, in other words, just take a bit of a step back from too bold a delivery, that will get us where we want to be. Other than that, I do commend management on a thoroughgoing exercise. You're excellent.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll... Yes, Ms Duncan. Councillor Duncan.
I've just got a question. I was just wondering, with the query about putting Cove AFL in Capella, why are we considering the concept while that is still up in the air?
Ms Haywood?
So because the community has been waiting for some time for the refurbishment of Capella Nanagai Reserve, rather than making the community wait any longer, which would be up until September, possibly December of this year, to do anything on the site, we thought that it would be a good idea to flip around the way that we were intending to do the refurbishment. So instead of starting at the southern end, we've decided to start at the northern end, where we can get some good traction with the community and hopefully get them on side with the broader precinct plan and the vision of that reserve.
The diagram or the picture map on page 73 is quite useful because it just graphically illustrates how the works are proposed for the two-thirds, if you like, the top two-thirds of the reserve, Capella Nanagai, and leaves the bottom third as a question mark. Councillor Gard, you've spoken, but you've got a question.
It's sort of a question. Is the term Karabi Reserve actually accurate? Because I didn't think there was one. I knew there was a Karabi Crescent, and that engulfs part of the, well, not engulfs, but it borders a lot of the reserve. But is there actually a defined reserve? Okay, I've learned something about my own ward. It's not listed in the Gregories or as such amongst reserves, so I think it might be a sort of an informal term, but nevertheless recognised.
All right, that's a good point. So did we end up passing that motion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 74, review of reduction of entry fees to Marion Outdoor Pool. Councillor Valescu.
Yes, Your Worship. I'd like to thank staff for the work they've done on this and the analytics and obviously the people that looked at it. After some discussions with Councillor Crossland, I'd like to propose that we look at a reduction in the cost for residents. Using the model proposed in the report, where option two, however, instead of a 50% discount, we look at a 25% discount. That way it's putting a little bit less pressure on the rest of the budget of the facility. It does provide an incentive, and we do it in a way that is a lot easier to manage as far as the staff go. So people, the schools, the people that are buying multi-season passes or hiring it, where there is already some sort of engagement, we can apply the discount then, instead of having events where it's blanketed, and especially if it's busy, actually tainting some of the experience for all the users, because they would create a queue. And in my question with notice, it does actually refer to what gets people to a facility is the customer experience. So we don't want to taint that by having an onerous process as well. So I recommend members support a significant, yet a little more modest discount, and doing it through the way of the multi-season pass and the options outlined on page 78 for option two.
Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Wish to add anything?
Just to thank staff for the report, and yeah, I think this is a great outcome for residents, a great outcome for the outdoor pool, and yeah, I look forward to seeing more Marion residents using it.
Anyone against? Councillor Hull, question?
With the passes, obviously you'd have to buy that in person at the pool, is that correct?
Staff help with that. Can you buy them online?
Through the chair, I'll have to take it on notice about the online purchase.
Well, it's too late. We've got to vote on this tonight. I need that information.
Through the chair, it's certainly, regardless of whether it can be purchased online, the multi-trip passes that would be taken would be of a small number and would be manageable, seeking ID around the applying the reduction. So it would be a manageable way to apply that reduction.
What I'm getting at is, if you buy them online, how can you actually show your ID, where you're living?
Through the chair, we would need someone to show ID. I don't believe that we will take that on notice whether you can purchase it online, but it would be a smaller number and would be manageable by staff.
How would you manage that?
Through the chair, so if someone came to a staff member in the queue and asked to...
Online. How would you manage the showing appropriate ID to fulfil the policy?
Can I just cut in there before Ms Dixon completes her answer? Even if you bought online, obviously you can only use the pass in person. So you are going to present yourself at the entry to the pool. If you purchased online, conceivably you could have a system where you pay online, but you'd still have to arrive at the pool to get the physical pass. And that's certainly what happens if you pay cash at the kiosk. You hand over your money and they make up a pass on the spot, specifically for you.
Is that correct?
Or Ms. Dixon?
You actually pay online and then you've got to pick up the passes at the pool, or is it printed off on your computer?
Through the chair, if I can just clarify, I would need to check whether we can actually purchase them online. I don't think you can at this point in time, but should that be an option, we would work through the procedures and people would need to show their ID when they picked up the pass.
Right, and in terms of them being transferable, in other words, you buy the season passes, what's to stop you from handing it over to your cousin that lives down at Hove?
Through the chair, these are operational matters that we would work through. What we would
do—sounding like the federal government now, like now it's an operational matter.
Through,
that's probably not appropriate. Point of order.
I'll uphold the point of order. It's not really helpful comment from Councillor Hull.
But we're all here for operational matters. I'm sorry, but this is an operational meeting. I should be able to ask these questions to get an answer. In other words, if you've got a season ticket, do you have to show ID every time you go to the pool to use it?
Currently you don't. I can tell you that, Councillor Hull. Most people would flash their ticket. It gets processed under a scanner,
And
then they could go through. So
The
current system is that, you could sell your 10-visit pass to someone else, and they could impersonate you, but it may be that a simple change of procedure, like a spot check, even on occasional passes through, would resolve the issue that you're talking about. But if you're not satisfied, just vote against it, I would suggest.
Oh, no, look, I think it's important for me to understand what I'm voting for. The other thing it says in the report that it would create queues where people have to show their ID. At the moment, you can actually walk straight through. I guess with the works down there, we will have a proper turnstile and people won't be able to walk straight through as they have in the past, because that's what we're hoping would be the case. I think Councillor Croslin made that observation as well, that anybody can just, before the upgrade, can just walk straight through. So, you know, we might end up getting more attendance and more revenue coming in. But look, in terms of this resolution, can I just ask that we actually start thinking about some processes that would avoid scalpers? Like, you can make a 25% profit straight up. You know, I don't think that's what our ratepayers would want and users of the pool would want. So just thought I'd make that point. That's why I drilled down on the line of questioning.
I think the point that Ms Dixon and I suppose I was trying to make is that at this meeting, we don't actually solve all operational issues. We kind of decide the principle and then staff go away and work out how to implement it. But if we don't have confidence that that can happen, then we shouldn't approve the principle. But thank you, Councillor Hull. Councillor Clancy.
I've just got a couple of questions. The option two that Councillor Croslin and Valescu are proposing, is it supposed to say the 50% reduction is recommended to be applied to only multi-visit and season passes and not including the dot pointed on page 78, hires, swimming lessons, DCD, parties?
Is that an error? We're talking about 25%, but Councillor Valescu is probably the one to answer that as the mover.
So it would include the multi-visit and season passes, the following. See, there's the semicolon after admission charges, and multi-visit should be over and have dot next to it. So it includes multi-visit and season passes, hires, swimming lessons, DCD and parties. So they're the things where there is a fair bit of admin already and they can check it, as opposed to your casual user where they just pay and there's...
But Councillor Valescu, I thought you were working off the option on page 75, the printed recommendation, and that just talks about membership passes and advanced hire passes.
An advanced hire passes is what's explained in page 78. 78 talks about option two and it lists what they are. There's more detail. So I'm happy for that to be included in the motion if we need it. Otherwise, we can leave it out. And that dot that's not next to multi-visits obviously has my co-counsel unsure about it.
Councillor Clancy, would you be happier if the dot points were included in the motion?
No, they need to be deleted. Swimming lessons, we can't have a 50% reduction on swimming lessons, or 25% if that's what's being proposed. Because the cost, the resources are too expensive for that.
It's the actual admin, it's the entry cost, not the actual swimming lesson.
It says swimming lessons.
It's the entry fee.
There's not an entry fee.
Councillor Clancy, it says on page 78, these would be applied to the following admission charges. So it's only for people going into the pool area.
So there's not an admission charge in addition to the swimming lesson, though?
There is normally, I believe.
So you don't pay $7 to go in and then have your swimming lesson as well. And I'd also suggest that DCD doesn't need a 50% reduction in their swimming, and a lot of those kids wouldn't be residents of Marion Council. I think it needs to be limited to multi-visit and season passes.
Right.
Which is what the rest of the report is indicating.
So it may be that that's an amendment to be moved, because Councillor Valescu intended for all of those dot points to be included in the motion. Is that right, Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, like it's the local hirers, the local schools, or the locally set up swimming lessons, and the people that are having parties that are registered under the City of Marion for the admission That's all it is. If anything, it may mean that some local schools may come on board because it'd be a little bit cheaper for them to do it. And that's a big company, that's a big customer base. So that's what I meant. And I'm happy if people want to move an amendment, but I think it's the right way to go.
I'm going to do two things. So I want to come back to Councillor Clancy, but I think in the motion, it was Councillor Valescu's intent. I'll just check with Councillor Crossland. Was it your intent as well that those dot points would be included?
It was that my intention, and I confirmed that it is costed in the report with those included, and the part is the deck hires are a much higher proportion of Marion residents anyway. And it's to try and build on that.
It should be a cut and paste from page 78. Just put the dot points. So that's the motion. Councillor Clancy, would you like to move an amendment that limits the 25% discount to what? To whatever you wish. To multi-visit and season passes. So bear with us while we get that on the screen. So just to clarify what's on the screen at the moment, we wouldn't have the word including, maybe put the multi-visit and season passes in brackets to show that that's Councillor Clancy's intention. Right. Only multi-visit and season passes and party hire. Right.
Mr. Mayor,
order.
Point of order.
All right, point of order.
Point of order is Councillor Clancy makes a point. I take my daughter there.
No,
to pay.
You're getting into debate, Councillor, and we're clarifying Councillor Clancy's amendment.
Well, the point,
you've had your say.
No, the point is that if you've got swimming
this
lessons,
is not a point of order.
There's no entry fee for
swimming
lessons.
There's no point of order. Councillor Clancy, did you wish to speak further to your amendment?
And it's not going to cost. It's going to cost us money and resources to have swimming instructors, whereas having a few extra kids go into the pool isn't going to impact resources. And I don't think if the purpose of the motion is to have this to benefit residents in Marion, having it available as a deck for who are using the outside of the schools and kids that live outside of the area, it kind of makes the purpose of the motion irrelevant.
Now, is the amendment seconded? Councillor Telfer?
I support this because I think it is more orderly than the divisions to do with hires and DECD. This is something that can be developed and is a good start, but I think it is very difficult for staff to be dealing with a DECD event and half a paying and half aren't, and hires by schools, half paying, half aren't. It would be all over the shop. So I don't think it's appropriate to include those other categories.
When did I speak? Well, the bell always rings and it never rang. That's because the clock never started.
Questions. Just if I can please start. I just wanted to know, with the costs that we had for DECD, was that just reducing the entry cost, or was it in reducing the cost of lane hire, and with the swimming lessons, was it reducing the cost of the swimming lessons we provide, or just the entry costs, and do all swimming lessons have an entry cost as well as the actual lesson cost?
Because of the amendment, in my discretion, I'm allowing the questions, which wouldn't normally occur in closing the debate. Ms. Dixon, what are the facts?
My understanding was that it was a reduction to the charges applied for attending a swimming lesson.
No, for a do you mean for admission for a swimming lesson?
Through the chair, my understanding is there is a charge for the lesson, and when you go to the swimming centre for the lesson, that's the reduction that would be applied. We can make a phone call to definitely confirm that. Unfortunately, the manager was unavailable to attend tonight, but if council wants 100% clarification, I think we're best to make a call.
Councillor Valesky, you are summing up the debate.
Yeah, look, I do think it's good that we have reduced some of the costs. I would like to have more information because it was a little bit unclear whether we're making the lessons cheaper for the big education department or whether we were making it cheaper for people using the facility when they come in from the local school, and also in regards to swimming lessons as well, because it would have been nice to be able to encourage more people to learn how to swim and to have swimming lessons there. And those two are actually a bit of a draw card in getting our numbers up. So it was an opportunity for us to actually get some of those numbers and get people used to the facility as a bit of a teaser. And if all the local schools didn't have totally local residents, we're actually getting them to come in and tell their families how good it was there. So I would like to get some further information to clarify that, and maybe once we get that, we could revisit it.
All those in favour of the motion as amended, please raise your hand. All those against, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, page 80, dog-free areas. Councillor Valescu would like to move.
I'm happy that we endorse the dog-free areas as listed. My particular interest was the Hindry Street Reserve, which technically wasn't a dog-free reserve, even though there was a high amount of children there, and sometimes children with special needs who may not react in a way that even some of the best dogs would be comfortable with. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to keep the dogs out of places like that. I can't comment on Jervis Street, Dumbarton, and I'm glad that we finally got there. And this was an issue that residents raised. They said, look, you know, why are you having dogs in this park? It's so busy and there's places to exercise just outside it.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. As members would know, I certainly like good dog controls around our council area, and I think this goes to contributing that. Thank you.
Against. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So now on to the representation review item, page 105. As I have said to members, it's possible to deal with clause 2 only, or one can adopt a timeline if preferred. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship, and I note that the recommended path usually is a 12-month process, and staff have recommended a slightly longer path to get there. Noting we do have the time to do it, look, I'd like to see us condense it back down to that 12 months if we can, to make sure we have enough time, and then if we do need extra time, we have it there. So I'd like to perhaps move it just with the perhaps with a condensed timeline down to 12 months.
Then probably rather than a whole timeline, you might just put to be completed by X month. So just have a think about that. Ms. McKenzie, what would you like to add?
Through the chair, my advice to members on this is the timeline has been pushed out a little bit to 18 months. The reason being is that we recommend that you wouldn't conclude the review until December, I think we put 2020 in there. The reason being is that ward quotas can change within that period, so we're not due to complete the review until June 2021 to be implemented in November 2022. If you complete the review too early, you may find that your ward quotas will then move within that 12-month period. So more than happy to reduce the timeline, but I'd probably recommend that you don't conclude it before December 2020, which still gives you a six-month buffer in any event.
Just one question on that. What the Electoral Commission normally does in state redistributions is that they forecast growth rates so that they make an allowance for the fact that this ward or that seat will actually grow faster and catch up if it's under quota, for example. So could that be done in drawing wards with appropriate quotas in this exercise?
Through the chair, I'm unsure. I've never seen them do that in previous reviews. The work is always done via staff or consultants who are engaged, so I haven't seen them provide any projected figures based on the ward quotas previously. But we can follow that through.
All right. Now, Councillor Hutchinson, it's back with you as to how you'd like to, what you'd like to do.
Look,
the time
I think
aspect,
that's a reasonable outcome. We're not going to be gaining a lot anyway in hindsight. I'll just move it as is be completed within that time frame.
And option?
And the option for who we're going to go with?
Yes.
I'll test it with perhaps internal.
Yep. So that's option four. All right.
No.
Then anything further to add? Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, anything to add?
Yeah, thank you, Worship. Look, I'm confident and comfortable with doing this internally. We did it with some external assistance last time, and honestly, I don't think the assistance was really of that much assistance. We had a consultant who was very, very keen on one particular option and almost pretty much admonished us when we chose a different option from sitting up there. So, I'm confident that we've got some exceptional staff that can do the job easily to the equivalent standard.
Any opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. All right, on to page 148, elected member reps for the council assessment panel, our planning panel. I know in the last term most of us agreed that it would be good to rotate membership of the assessment panel, but there's no rule about that. It's entirely a matter of who would wish to nominate. So please just put up your hand if you wish to nominate. Got Councillor Duncan. Last, Councillor Hull. Any others? There being no others, we have two candidates. There is the option of someone going in as a deputy of the other. So you've got a voting paper. So Ms. McKenzie, how do you recommend they're marked? Just put a number one at the, just fill in the number one for whoever.
Just to clarify, members who are a nominee can participate in the vote. However, when we actually take the council resolution, you have to declare a conflict of interest because it's a remunerated position.
So everyone's in the room. Just put one name on the top of the paper. That'll make things clear since there's just one vacancy. Perhaps I should ask at this point while we're doing that, whether there are any other nominations for the position of deputy member. Councillor Telfer's interested in the position of deputy member. Councillor Telfer?
I haven't had to act in the last little while.
Very well. So this is just for the position of member, and then we'll take another ballot for position of deputy. this highly sought after panel position. So the preferred candidate based on that count was Councillor Duncan, I'm informed by management. So let's deal with that motion. I'll ask Councillor Duncan to leave the room due to conflict of interest. And I'll ask for someone to move the motion that Councillor Duncan be member of the CAP for the next year. Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I have two... Councillor Duncan, you can come back in. I have two candidates for the position of deputy member, Councillor Hull and Councillor Telfer. Take one of these white sheets of paper, write one name and fold it in half. The preferred candidate is Councillor Telfer. So somebody, if Councillor Telfer, if you could leave the room as a matter of conflict of interest, would somebody like to move that Councillor Telfer be deputy member of the CAP for the next 12 months? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Councillor Telfer can come back in. Now, page 150, revitalisation of the Edwardstown Employment Precinct. Lots of controversial items in there. What would you like to do with it, Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, to start with, look, as I said at the top of the meeting, I have declared a perceived but unlikely conflict there in relation to point four. I don't actually want to move point four for that reason. I think if council wants to move it, then that's great, but I'll leave the room after I move the initial item, if that's okay.
You can move whatever you want to at this point.
Okay, I'll remove point four then. And look, I've seen some of the email traffic in the last day or two in regard to some of these budget items, and look, I've taken some of these into account and others not so much. Therefore, I would like to make a couple of adjustments to those A, B, C, D, E lists up there. And therefore, I note that Councillor Telfer mentioned that the trees in Messines are actually under control at the moment in an email correspondence, which removes $10,000 from point C. So that takes that to 65. I then note that point D, there's questions about the environmental monitoring, which is urban heat island monitoring. Look, I'd love to do it, but if it's not going to have the will of the council, I'm happy to remove that for $10,000 saving. And I note also the commentary about Southern Business Connections running events, which they do anyway, for $5,000, being point F, which I'm happy to remove. Whilst I can see the value in these, I want to make sure that we actually have a package that will get across the line. I think that was all of my adjustments there. Therefore, thank you, Councillor Gard, that therefore reduces that 190 by $25,000, which takes us to 165. And if I'm not sure if you want me to speak to it now, or do you want to wait for a second? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I was absolutely honoured and thrilled to attend the event a couple of weeks ago at our new Edwardstown Oval facility. We had 69 businesses represented, which was a phenomenally good turnout. Look, a couple of little interesting stats about this Edwardstown region and from an industry perspective. 4,500 people are employed in the area. Now, I'm only talking about the City of Marion side of the road. I'm not talking about City of Mitcham. 4,500 people are employed. $1.3 billion worth of economic input comes out of that area. Here's the interesting one for you. $2.9 million of our rates, of our $90 million rates budget, comes from just the commercial and just the industrial businesses in Edwardstown. That's $2.9 billion out of our $90 million budget comes just from those guys. Look, it is an area that economically has struggled a little bit over the years, over the last couple of years especially, as manufacturing, the heat's come out of manufacturing in South Australia and Australia more generally. But it's an area that is still pumping at all cylinders. When you hear numbers like 1.3 billion, that's quite a lot of output. And on top of that as well, it's 300 million worth of exports come out of the area. Look, we need to make sure that this area is remaining strong in the future, into the long-term future. It is an area that, with that number of people being employed in the area, there are a lot of our residents, there are a lot of our ratepayers who are actually employed and working in the back block to Edwardstown in there. It's really important that we can never be in the space of picking winners, but we need to make sure that the conditions are right for an economy to actually bloom and thrive in an area. And I think that's, having been part of that discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago with these guys, they're really chomping at the bit. They're really hungry to actually work with us and to collaborate with us to rebuild the area and turn it into something that's not smart and sexy and shiny like Tonsley, but that continues to be the real workhorse of the area. Your Worship, I note that going into an item that comes up later in our agenda, page 201, our annual business plan and budget, we're actually mentioning this project in the welcome address, along with Mitchell Park, along with Oakland's BMX, the Marion Outdoor Pool and Soccer. But we don't have a budget line for it. So, you know, when you're talking about what's now $165,000 out of the rates that they're pumping in annually of $2.9 million, I think it's actually relatively fair. Now, we can pick the eyes out of more of this plan if you want. You'll note that there's a lot that's being undertaken through existing resources, but I think it's actually quite a fair amount considering trying to achieve.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, you wish to speak?
I will, Your Worship. Look, 165K versus what I've seen our council spend on a potential plaza redevelopment that has gone nowhere. And the money we put in elsewhere, I think this small amount of money has the potential to grow something significant in our community down in Edwardstown. As Councillor Pfeiffer mentioned, it's a work room for our local economy, so I'm very supportive of this.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Crossland, a question?
Thank you, Worship. I've got just a couple of questions. One, is this model that we're looking at being trialled elsewhere and obtained results? Because that wasn't clear in the report. That's my first question. The second question is, I'm aware we have a business development officer at the Cove Business Hub, and I wondered whether or not for a 12-month period we could use that person instead of a project officer, as we already employ one.
All right, let's start with those two questions. First of all, do we have an example of this sort of plan of attack working elsewhere? Mr. Salmon.
The urban area, there's a Places for People grant that we can go after to attract that money, and it's competitive. It's all the state councils go after that money, so we think that piece of work would make us competitive in that space.
Mr. Salmon, just getting back to the question, but it was whether this process was following an example from elsewhere where it had succeeded.
Not the specific model, as far as I'm aware. The elements of it are successful, but I'm not aware of anyone who's put together the urban parts of it and the business parts of it, which is an urban activation plan like we are doing right now.
Question was, we've got an officer working at Cove Civic Centre. Why couldn't they be seconded to do some or all of the project officer work?
They absolutely could. It would mean stopping the services at the Cove, which are currently offered there, and which we're currently ramping up after feedback from members to make the Cove work better. We're currently doing some work there, which we'll report back to you. It's happening in July, but we could if Council made a decision to stop their services.
All right. I'll just follow up with a similar question. Say with the urban design framework, we have a number of designers on board. Why couldn't we do that work in-house?
We have Dr. Brett Grimm, who's the closest thing I'd call to an urban designer who's at capacity working on the state government projects. He could do the work technically, but he's not doesn't have the time at the moment without stopping something else that he's doing. We do have a number of landscape architects who would then be the next profession closest to an urban designer, a bit different, but could definitely work in that space. And they're working on the Open Council's open space and playground rollout. So it could be done, but the other things would have to stop.
Rightio. And just one more, the greening of Woodlands Terrace and Raglan Avenue, why wouldn't that be done within existing budgets?
Oh, that'd be a good question for Matt Allen, whether we could reallocate funds. Once again, other things would have to not happen. We'd have to reallocate funds for street planting and upgrades to those streets. I think Raglan is identified in the streetscape upgrade plan, but Woodlands is not, so we'd have to reallocate funds to that.
All right. Thanks very much. Any other questions or speaking against? Councillor Telfer?
My question's about Messines Avenue, local heritage trees that are the War Memorial from 1917, 100 years old. As I understand it, the arborist has already begun treating the trees and that will keep the life for the next 10 years. Wouldn't the tidying up and the preventing of the car parking in appropriate places be done by our civil staff as part of our normal budgets?
Through the chair, I can't answer that technical question. I don't know if Donna has spoken to our arborists. Whether Megan, no, not Megan. Sorry, you got up. I don't know whether you could answer.
Ms. Griffiths.
The Messines, thank you. The Messines trees aren't currently in their scope of works. It's outside of their works.
Okay. Now, Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Hull.
I was at the Edwardstown Forum, and I talked to a lot of people, and there was a lot of uncertainty around the north-south corridor. I was just wondering whether we have any indication of anything from the state government there.
Funny you should say that, Councillor Pryor. Letter came in from the minister today.
That's amazing.
In response to one of my letters, and I have, what have I done? I think I've sent that around. I've put it on, had it put on the extranet, so you can read it at your leisure, and it says that they're considering it. Just to sum it up, unless staff have anything to add. No. Councillor Hull?
As to the trees that Councillor Telfer alluded to, can I ask the question as to whether car parking there over many years is in the best interest of those trees, given that cars would be compacting the soils quite dramatically around those. I don't think the people that planted those trees back in 2017 envisaged it being a car park.
1917, actually.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Can staff advise on that?
I'm not an arborist, but we can take that one on notice. From my understanding, we would need to investigate that. And that's what the additional money was for, and then the relocation of car parks.
Right. So
question taken on notice.
All right. So that'll appear in those questions taken on notice.
It should do.
Yeah, as a follow-up. The other question I've got is that this area is a notorious area as a heat sink, as a heat island. Is this consistent with the so-called intentions of this council to monitor the effects of climate change? And is that an adequate outcome from this resolution?
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, the installation of those monitors would allow council to assess before and after, and to see the impact of greening the space as well. So it would be a measure in council addressing climate change and the heat island.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to speak against the resolution if the clock could be returned to normal.
Ms. McKenzie, what's your advice on the ticking of the clock? Yeah, all right, 3 minutes. Go for it.
I won't need that much. I simply believe that the original resolution as printed, obviously with the exception of Councillor Pfeiffer's appointment should be the way we go. We should be doing this properly. Councillor Telfer's alluded to the trees. I've alluded to the trees. If we really value these trees, I've heard the trees being brought into question before about their health and whether they are really cared and valued. So that's that point. And we're talking about an industrial area where a little bit of green wouldn't go astray, to be honest. And if they've got a heritage factor, well and good. The other thing is about monitoring the area for the effects of climate change. I think that we already know this is a problem area. If you happen to live in Edwardstown, hello. It's pretty hot. It gets pretty hot there. And basically, to be consistent with the rhetoric that I hear coming from this council when I did move the motion about the climate change emergency, that we're already doing enough, well, let's do it. Let's actually monitor, or instead of just turning a blind eye to the fact that we've got an incredibly hot part of our city. Why wouldn't we be monitoring it as part of this? I actually support the recommendation as printed. I am familiar with the area. It goes back to the days of Joan Herriman when she showed great interest in this, and there was a joint Mitcham and Council project just like this, but it was to deal with environmental issues more than anything else. Although I do remember Councillor Herriman going on a delegation to Victoria to look at economic development opportunities in Geelong, and this is not the first time we've looked at this. And every now and then we need to actually revisit Edwardstown because of all the reasons described by Councillor Pfeiffer. I just think that Councillor Pfeiffer has sort of succumbed to some pressure from others about finances, and has obviously moderated this in the hope that it will get it over the line. Well, I'm sorry. I think if we're going to spend all that money down south tonight, which we did, this is a modest amount compared to what we spent down south tonight, very modest amount in terms of what I would like to see, then why would we be so miserly not to support the motion as printed? And if this motion was to fail, I would be moving an alternative motion, being the printed motion, to actually do this properly. Do it right the first time, Councillor Pfeiffer.
I'd like to move an amendment, please, Your Worship.
Yes, you've asked a question, but you've not spoken. So go ahead.
Thank you. Pretty much identical to Councillor Pfeiffer's, but instead of the 40,000 and the 0.4 FTE project officer, I'd like that to be covered internally by using the member of staff from the business centre at Cove. It shows that the south is helping out the north in some of those fees. But if I can actually speak to it.
Yes, if you want to be so prescriptive about it, yeah, go ahead.
I think this is a great opportunity for development. It looks at possibilities of linking the business people in the southern suburbs with Edwardstown and vice versa. And I think that can only strengthen the position of Edwardstown if those links are brought with an actual person with individual knowledge.
Thank you. We're just trying to check that we've got the appropriate wording on screen. So the title of the position you're talking about is the Economic Development Coordinator at Cove Civic Centre.
And it would reduce.
And we might just use that in the wording of the motion, if you want to be that specific.
And it would reduce 0.3 to 125.
Probably. Order. The member has had the opportunity to consider his wording, and he wants to be specific about the resource that's used. So I'm getting a question from governance. Councillor Lescu may be on the right track, and it gave me a bit of concern as well. We may not be able to direct the Chief Executive to reallocate the duties of a particular officer, Councillor Crossland.
Okay, so just internal resources then.
probably the word allocate internal resources. Yeah. Does that cover it, Councillor Crossland?
I'm happy with that wording, thank you.
Right, so did you wish to speak any further to it?
No, thank you.
Is the amendment seconded? Anyone that hasn't spoken? Last chance if anyone wants to second the amendment. There is no seconder for the amendment, so the amendment fails. Anyone who hasn't spoken yet at all can now contribute if they wish. Councillor Pryor.
I'd like to have a run at putting the environmental monitoring back in at 10k. I'd like to move
so
amendment.
As an amendment to reinstate the...
And just a quick comment, and I think it's actually important
point
because
D is printed.
We need to understand the before and the after and even the during. And if we're not monitoring these things, how do you determine success? How do you determine you're moving in the right direction? And I think $10,000 is a small price to pay for that.
So that's just one thing I want to clarify while we're on the topic before I ask for a seconder. What would the relevance be of the heat sink mapping that we did across the city a couple of years back? Would that be a relevant baseline, or is that too general for what's proposed in this case?
Through the Chair, that data would be used, but the additional 10,000 would seek to measure other things such as air quality, the canopy as well, and the heat as well. So we would use existing data, but this would build on it.
Useful clarification, thank you. So now, is the amendment seconded to put the environmental monitoring back in, so to speak? Anyone who hasn't spoken, is there a seconder? Well, if there is no seconder, then the amendment lapses, and we are left with anybody who has not yet spoken to speak in the debate. Councillor Schilling.
Firstly, I've got a couple of questions. First question is, will this have any impact on Tonsley? Because wouldn't this be a competitor a kilometre up the road?
That's right, it looks so much like Tonsley. Mr. Salmon?
Through the Chair, we see this as being quite complementary to Tonsley. Tonsley has two types of tenant. One is startups, which are obviously that starting up, very low capital, low numbers of employees, and then it has some very expensive space for larger companies. We see Edwardstown as a middle ground, so we could create a bit of a pipeline of startups starting in Tonsley, moving to Edwardstown, building their business, and maybe one day going back to Tonsley if that was appropriate. We've talked this through with the PCG at Tonsley, including their project directors, and they're very supportive of what we're doing. They see it as a whole ecosystem that will benefit everyone.
Great. My second question is, and I sent around an email today, if the City of Mitcham are involved and they're on the consultative committee nominations, why are they not paying half?
Yeah, I think the answer is that everything we're talking about here is to benefit Edwardstown on this side of South Road, but I'd invite staff to comment.
That is correct. The funding that's sought tonight would focus on Edwardstown.
And just to clarify for Councillor Schilling, the discussions that took place about the North-South Corridor Committee were very much that it be a loose collection of people who gather together every so often to see if there's news about South Road, possibly to meet with MPs or organise a letter to the Minister or something of that nature, but it's not like it's a co-council committee as such, if that helps. Any other questions or comments? If I may say so, Councillor Schilling, your question about Tonsley was a good one, but there's clear room for product differentiation, as was indicated. Anyone else who hasn't spoken would like to speak in the debate? Councillor Masika.
Through the Chair, I'm looking up point number 4, which has been removed from the motion, and I want to point out that regardless where the motion goes, whether fails or pass, I'd like to move that point back as a separate motion because it's a huge project. Activation of Edwardstown Precinct is a huge project and it attracts a lot of interest, and the council needs to be involved at higher level to make sure that we can share the interest, the group, which is the committee, which is being suggested here, rather than leaving it to people of interest to be doing.
So I think what Councillor Pfeiffer was doing was deliberately leaving that committee notion for a separate motion. So I'll come back to you after we've resolved this matter if you want to move that particular item. If are there any other speakers? Councillor Clancy.
Can I move that we defer this motion? I just feel that there's a lot of questions around the table and perhaps we're into the forum and questions before that. I'd also like to know what the Southern Economic Development Board's involvement or contribution could be. I'd like to know what the State Minister would like.
Yes, it is possible to move a deferral. It's a procedural motion. Not debated, but only people who have not yet spoken in the debate could possibly second it. And Ms. McKenzie will just list those councillors.
So members that haven't spoken include Councillor Gard, Councillor Duncan, Councillor Telfer. Oh, yep, Councillor Schilling, sorry.
So Councillor Schilling is seconding the motion for deferral. I'll put the motion immediately. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is tied. I'll cast the casting vote for the affirmative to defer. So I'll just go back to Councillor Clancy. What was your intention with the deferral? Right, to come back in July, if we just leave it general like that. Right, till the general council meeting in July.
Point of clarification. That's
carried. Councillor Pfeiffer, point
of order. If we do that, we therefore miss budget for this year, and it is in our business plan and budget right now without a budget.
Well, that can always be worked around, Councillor Pfeiffer. The budget actually isn't set in cement for 12 months. But I'll ask our finance manager to comment. So the matter has been dispatched, and so we'll move on to... There's a difficulty. We didn't deal with the consultative committee issue, and strictly speaking, that wasn't the subject of Councillor Clancy's motion. Can I just informally ask Councillor Clancy, was it your intention that that should be put off as well? Then I'll go to you, Councillor Masika, if you'd like to move the point four as printed, or as you wish.
Through the chair, I'd like to move point four as printed.
You may speak to it if you wish.
I no further discussion, but I'd like to move it as printed.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson? Anyone against? Question? Councillor Crossland?
I always thought that when you had a committee, it was the committee that voted on who was chair. Can we appoint someone to a committee that doesn't exist?
Well, yes, we can. So,
do they get a choice in it?
Well, no, they don't. We could give them the choice. That could be the motion. Okay. We could say that, because you'll see that there are some named people who are, and they basically volunteered to just be on this group. We could give the power to them to appoint a chair, or we could appoint a chair to protect council's interests. If you would like to foreshadow a different motion, that the group appoint their own chair, then you can do that. And if the motion fails, I'll entertain such a motion. nothing. I think it's just being put in there to put a write a name on a signpost that's already in the street, as we so often do. Any other questions, Councillor Blescu? That's the intention. It's saying to the people who have volunteered, we are supplying a chair to you, rather than go along to your first meeting and sort it out yourselves. Well, it's been moved, it's been seconded. So, just after any questions, Councillor Hull.
It's back to the question I asked before about us elected members being in that position on an external body.
And I think that's where you went astray earlier with respect, Councillor Hull, because it's not really an external body, not in anything like the sense of the Red House or a local school or a sports club.
But you told me it was an incorporated body.
No, the Red House was.
Oh, okay.
That's why that's a totally separate issue. And councillors can't go along and start voting on some other body's committee. This is a group of people calling it a committee. There's no prohibition against an elected member going along and voting or chairing or whatever, because it's not another body that we're interfering with. It's just a group of people.
So it's an informal gathering?
An informal gathering, not of council, but of people concerned about a particular topic, yes.
Okay.
There are no more questions. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right. We can ask Councillor Pfeiffer to come back in. And we've now got on page 192 the draft four-year business plan, draft annual business plan, draft long-term financial plan. So, Councillor Pfeiffer, congratulations on your appointment to this informal gathering regarding North South Road. Now, I'll give you the option. Do you want to kick off on this item, the budget, etc.?
Sorry, Your Worship, I'm just getting my papers together here.
I know it'll take a while to come back down to earth after that.
So, yeah, it's the dizzying heights of an informal committee. Jeez. Sorry, was this to move the business plan and budget and four-year plan? Yes, I do wish to do so as written. Thank you.
Councillor Blescu?
Peter, leave it as is.
Seconded. Question. Anyone speaking? A question, Councillor Hull.
I hope that both the clock's going. Look at that. Like clockwork, isn't it, really? Can I ask, just for the ground rules, we've already had a number of average rate increase proposals, just so we know what we can and can't put forward in terms of a valid motion.
It's a very good question, Councillor Hull. I suggest the orderly way of presenting this
This has got to stop. Can we?
That's my timing in answering your question. Yeah. The orderly way of proceeding, I suggest, is to test 1.8 with the motion order. Let's be serious for a moment. I suggest that the way to proceed is to test this motion with 1.8. If that passes, then it's done. If not, then we will entertain any number of motions about different rates, higher, lower, whatever people want to do.
Motion of dissent for you now, Mr. Mayor.
Right.
I would like to test your ruling that clock is as it should be. I think this nonsense has got to stop. If I ask a question, the clock should not be running. And I'd like that put to the council as to whether that clock should go back to zero or not. Because that's not applying to you at all. That's
I think there's something in the rules generally about time wasting, Councillor Hull, and I suspect that that's what you're doing.
Fair go. I just want to be able to ask a question.
You've asked the question and you've got your answer.
Yeah, but the clock...
You haven't spoken in the debate yet.
Well, why is the clock at 2 minutes? Order,
it's only indicative. Don't get hung up on it, Councillor Hull. As the Chair, I'll decide how long you speak and how long you don't speak. But your time hasn't started running yet, I'm telling you. But are you arguing with that?
Well, I can point just
all right.
Look up there.
Councillor Hull
point of
has...
Order.
Order. Councillor Hull has moved dissent from the Chair as to the Chair's ruling that his time has not yet started running in the debate. Is anyone seconding the motion for dissent from the Chair? Last chance. There is no one seconding the motion of dissent in the Chair, so the motion lapses. Councillor Hull, please be quiet so that we can get on with the meeting. The motion has been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to speak against? Councillor Gard.
Order, Mr. Mayor. I asked a
point
question.
Of order, Councillor Hull.
I asked a question about what we can and can't move in terms of the rate increase. And
you answered that question, Councillor Hull.
Well, what was it? I'll write it down. What was it? I got distracted.
No, I'm not going to go back again. You'll just have to try things out in the course of the proceedings. I'm not going to waste my time repeating myself. Councillor Gard, you have the call.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm moving against the motion on the basis of the proposed average rate increase of 1.8%. I'm looking for something less. All members realise that I am. I've put up some very good cases as to that. And I won't nominate what that is now because I'm taking into account, Your Worship, the procedure that you were mentioning before, that this motion is to be won or lost, and if it's lost, well, then we come back around. However, I just want to make the point on the fact that we do speak in our public statement for this plan that we are not going like bats out of hell with rates anymore. In other words, we've got rates under control. Well, I wanted to make the point that since the beginning of the last council term in late 2014, the actual rate take has increased, will have increased if we pass this year, by something just over $30 million in rate take. And look, I forgive my fellow members for missing perhaps the point that when you do 2 points and 1.8s and so on, it does seem like you're providing concession. But when you convert it to the real dollars, and when you take into account that we were critical of the previous regimes for the amount of rate collection, and then now we have collectively proposed to mount on that over-collection, as we might put it, by over $30 million, I think it's time to think harder. And overlaying that is, okay, so how do we make things fit? Well, how we make things fit is that we know we're in a strong financial position to borrow, and we need to get our intergenerational equity fully defined. Finances promised that we would do that when it comes to the big decisions, that we would be thinking on intergenerational equity. So on those bases alone, I can't endorse the motion as it stands at 1.8.
Thank you. Anyone speaking in favour of the motion? We normally go for and against. I'll just see if there's anyone else speaking for the motion. Councillor Telfer.
I speak for the motion. We have work to be done. We have a job to work consistently. I think it would be inappropriate to drop rates this year and then say we're going to put them up next year. I think we need, as a council now, to be working towards taking the base rate of 1.8% and taking it all the way through our 4 years so that we get on with the work that we need to do. We all agreed on low rates, but the reality is how many people came knocking down the door to submit and show their disapproval to this level? How many people did we have reply to this whole business plan we've put out saying this is just dreadful, we're not able to encompass this? We have been chosen. We have to keep with inflation. We have to understand that our population is growing, and that is a segment of the 30 million that has increased. We have to understand that 35 million of our rate increase will be staff, and we can't put them off and on at whim. We also have to understand that intergenerational resources come from the past. If Mitchell Park hadn't been given the tennis courts by the community, we wouldn't have them, the four on the eastern side. We are taking a lot of intergenerational land and intergenerational resources from the past to use now to put in place for the future. So I think that this is an appropriate draft budget.
Thank you. Councillor Hull, speaking against or amending? Can you just tell me what the amendment is first?
The amendment is that everything as printed and the average rate increase of 1.5.
Just before you go on, now I've counselled members that the orderly way to proceed is to test one figure at a time. That's what the motion before us does. So I would say that you are within your rights to disrupt that process, so I'll allow the amendment, but I'll ask you to reconsider on the basis that I come back to you if the 1.8 fails.
So, okay, so if 1.8 fails, I'll have the opportunity to move a motion of 1.5.
I'll come back to you.
All right, I can't see much of a difference in the process, but I'll go along with that.
All right, thanks. So I just think it's a more orderly way to do it. Thanks. I appreciate your cooperation, Councillor Hull. Councillor Valescu.
The benefit of members that went... question.
You seconded the motion.
Got question.
All right, I'll let you go with question.
Just for the benefit of the members, I just wanted to know if staff can reiterate the concerns they had as far as the impact of anything below 1.8 would have on the ongoing budget, and also if they can reiterate the concerns about the unknown expenses that we'll have in the assets that we currently hold. If we can have that information again, please.
Mr. Barnwell.
Okay. Through the Chair. Obviously, at this point in time, we have a balanced budget. Now, there is, it's a pretty fulsome budget. We got a capital works program of $44.5 million. There's actually $10 million worth of initiatives in this budget as well. So obviously these need to be funded. And I suppose I would say when we draw an intergenerational equity, we look at this budget is probably the most intergenerational budget that I've seen before council in my time here. We have $7.9 million coming from reserves, which is our past ratepayers. We have the current increase, obviously, forecast at 1.8. We also have forecast borrowings of $10 million for our future ratepayers. So I think it's a very balanced budget. I think there's a large work programme, and obviously I have concerns that if we drop the rate, first of all, we will go into deficit in the first year. Potentially the first year we may be able to handle that, but we'll have a long-term impact, which will compound from the first year as well. Obviously further we'll have the strategic asset management investigation which is going on, so obviously that will have prevention, that will potentially have impacts depending on the outcomes of that, which could be in the millions of dollars.
Right. I'll take any other speakers either way in the debate. If not, then Councillor Fifield, you wish to close the debate?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll keep this fairly short. I know there's going to be votes either way on this. It's obviously not going to be unanimous. Your Worship, I've been around this place for a little while now, and I've seen these discussions year in, year out. I think what frustrates me about these discussions is that every year we have to look at this number, you know, so many fortnights in a row, and we have to have the same debate so many fortnights in a row. And I think that's what I personally find exhausting about the process. Look, I mean, I said it from the chair last fortnight. I mean, the actual dollar impact to council and to the council's budget between 1.8, 1.5, 1.4, 2.1 is actually comparatively minimal. I think my issue at this point is really the governance of it, and the fact that, you know, we did give informal advice to our staff back many, many months ago that, you know, around about 1.8 feels good. In the past we've given our staff, you know, a range, and we've actually had various scenarios modelled. We didn't do that this year, and I feel that we can change it. We can make it 10%. We can make it 0%. We can do whatever we want, really. But I feel that at this point, we need to stop, you know, putting in new projects. We need to stop, if we are going to pull that rate down, we need to stop asking for extra money in the budget for next year, and we need to start looking for additional savings and looking at what we can actually cut, not what more we can put in. And, you know, over the past couple of fortnights, I've seen quite a lot of stuff, extra stuff, get put in. One thing from me, or attempted one thing from me tonight, unsuccessful so far. And, you know, a lot from a lot of different corners of the chamber and a lot of different corners of the council. I think we need to be, we need to look at both sides of that budget, and we need to, if we're going to reduce the rate rise, not a bad idea. We need to look at actually pushing some really big, hard savings as well.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. I declare the vote tied. I cast my vote in favour of the motion. So it's carried. Division is called by Councillor Schilling. All those in favour, please stand in your place. They are Councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Telfer and Hutchinson. Those against, order. Let there be no reflection on other members. Those against are Councillors Clancy, Hull, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. The Mayor casts his vote in favour of the motion, so the motion's carried on the division. Thank you. So we move on to our next item of business.